Thank you so much for being here today to remember Christ's death together as a community. This morning, this afternoon, whatever it is, we are going to look at the crucifixion story through a particular lens. And that lens this morning is the lens of Passover. We're going to look at the crucifixion story through the lens of Passover. Why? Because our gospel reading this morning, our crucifixion story, is from the book of John. And I believe that when we read and we hear John's words, he wants us to be thinking about the Passover. When John wrote his entire gospel, he did so in such a way that mandates that the readers and hearers call to mind this event called the Passover. Most of us have one of two reactions when we come across one of those references to the Passover. For some of us, those terms, those references are so common to us that we hardly even recognize them. There are others of us that when we hear them, they're so odd that we are just confused by them and we discount them. I think that John wants us to have neither of those reactions when we see these references to the Passover. I think he wants us to grasp them and understand the significance of the connection of these two events. Let me give you just a few examples. So John, the gospel writer, when he begins his gospel, he begins it with a poetic kind of tribute to Jesus. But then once he starts the narrative portion of his gospel, he does so by saying this. He says, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming from afar, and John the Baptist's words about Jesus are this: behold, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb. He only waits another couple of verses. Again, in chapter 1, he has John the Baptist saying about Jesus, behold, the Lamb. That word, that title of the Lamb of God, is a reference clearly, among other sacrificial images in the Old Testament, it's clearly also a reference to the Passover. John goes on as he describes the events of Jesus' life. Three times in his gospel, he brings up the point that it's Passover time. All the other gospel readers only mention it one time, but John brings it up three times. And so it was Passover time, and he tells the story of Jesus' life. And now, here we come to the end of John's gospel. And as he narrates the events of Jesus' crucifixion and death, it is dripping with Passover imagery. So if John wants us all so desperately to be thinking about the Passover when we hear his words describing Jesus' crucifixion, then let's pause just for a few moments and remember that event, right? Let's remember Passover. Many of us know the story. The people of God were under the rule of a very oppressive Pharaoh. They were, in fact, slaves. And their cries and their prayers for freedom had reached God's ears. And God made a plan to rescue them. He sent a man named Moses to command Pharaoh. We all know the phrase, right? Let my people go. And Pharaoh resisted. So God sent 9 plagues, plagues that include things like frogs, flies, and the devastation of all of the livestock. Look, this is not a children's story. This is a story about a power-hungry nation who is exploiting God's people while God strips everything away from those people bit by bit. Pharaoh still resists. He says, no, I will not let them go. So God sends one final plague, the most devastating of all. And this event, the Passover, becomes central to the identity of the Hebrew people. And we as Christians also give this story a lot of weight. In this plague, God himself is coming down to execute his judgment. He will sweep across all of Egypt, and he will cut down every firstborn. Every firstborn. God and his judgment are on the way, and his judgment will bring a powerful nation to its knees. So what is the command that God gives to his people? He says, this is what I want you to do. Take a lamb, a spotless little lamb without any blemishes. Slaughter it, eat it with your family, and spread the blood over the door of your home. In other words, the only thing that stands in between you inside and God and his judgment outside is the blood of a lamb. The ultimate force of the universe is coming, and only a little lamb stands between you and it. You're starting to see the connections, I'm sure. See, that day at Passover, God provided a way out. The bloody death of a helpless victim. God says that the only hope for his people is the blood of a lamb. Here's the thing, though. The thing that we miss about this story sometimes is that God's judgment, God was coming to destroy not just the Egyptians. Let me explain. Just a few verses. This is Exodus 12, by the way. God says, hey, look, after you paint the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, do not go outside. Do not step outside of your house. Why would he tell them that? Because he knows that if these people, his people, the Israelites, people who have faith in the one true God, people who are actually the victims in this scenario, he says, yeah, even considering all of that, if you go outside to face the judge for yourself, you too will be cut down. You too are guilty. Not your morality or your religiosity will be enough to save you from the judgment of God. Many people in our culture seem to want God to just be the kind of God who just loves and loves alone, right? The kind of God who wipes slates clean. Can't God just forgive people? Can't God just wipe the slates clean for all of us? The short answer is no. He can't. There must be a payment. And we all know this from our actual lives, right? Like, think about it for a second relationally. Let's say that somebody deeply wrongs you. When that happens, there is a debt that has been created, right? There is a debt. And someone is going to have to pay that debt down. We have two options. When we have this rift, this debt between two people, you have two options. The first is that you can make the other person pay it down. How do we do that relationally? Well, we despise people in our hearts. We spread malicious gossip about them until we feel like the scales have been leveled out. That's making them pay the debt down. But there's another way, right? We can also forgive. But forgiveness is made of something besides forgetfulness. Forgiveness is made of loving someone even when you want to hate them. Holding your tongue even when you want to say something bad about them. And by doing that kind of hard work, it is you who are paying the debt down. But there is a debt nonetheless, and someone must pay it. Think about it also on like a societal level, right? Let's say that there is a criminal who has done something horrible. And let's say that that criminal stands before a judge And the criminal says, hey, you know what? I'm really sorry about what I did. And the judge says, hey, he said he's sorry, so let's go ahead and let him back out into society. We all know that there is a debt that must be paid. It can either be paid by the prisoner, by the criminal, by sitting in prison, or it can be paid by society, right? That is a debt that someone will pay. That night at Passover, the lamb, the Passover lamb, covered the firstborn. The people of God took shelter under the blood of the lamb. There was blood spilt in every house that night. It was either a son's or a lamb's. The Passover lamb protected the people of God from God's judgment for one night. But they would still be liable to judgment in the future, right? The very next day, the people of Israel are set free. Free from slavery. They were sent on their way. But I can tell you that when they marched out of Egypt, they may have been physically free, but they still carried the guilt and the debt that we all carry, that we all owe to God. The blood of the lamb may have protected them for one night, but they needed another lamb to come someday. So fast forward to our gospel reading today from John. John is pointing to back to Passover, and he is saying, look, this is the other lamb. This is the lamb that you have been waiting for. So it's all in the details. Let me unpack just a couple of references in the crucifixion story of how John is pointing to this connection between the Passover lamb and what he calls the Lamb of God. The first is this. He says that to fulfill prophecy, none of Jesus' bones will be broken, right? Remember that the soldiers came around and pierced his side rather than breaking his bones. What's the reference? Well, that idea of, or that phrase, do not break any of the bones, is the exact same phrase that the people heard about the Passover lamb all those years ago. When you slaughter that lamb in your house, do not break any of the bones. There's the Passover lamb and the Lamb of God. Another detail, John tells us that Jesus was refreshed by wine that was on a sponge on a hyssop branch. Right? That someone held up this wine to Jesus on a hyssop branch. Now, I find hyssop branch an odd detail for John to include. Why the detail, John? This is why. Because the hyssop branch was the exact same branch that the Hebrew people used to spread that blood over the doorpost so many years ago. John tells us that it was the sixth hour when Jesus was standing before all the crowds and the crowds were shouting at him, crucify him. It was the sixth hour. John, why the detail? This is why the detail. Because with the Passover lamb, it was the sixth hour when they were supposed to begin preparing that lamb for slaughter. Now, we miss a bunch of this stuff, but rest assured, John's readers and hearers did not. They recognized that John was saying, look, you know that debt that you're still carrying around? The deeper, more important kind of debt? Jesus came to cover that. Here's one way, though, that the Passover lamb and the Lamb of God are very different. The Passover lamb did not go willingly to slaughter, right? Have you ever seen an animal go willingly to slaughter? But Jesus not only went willingly, he was determined. He could not be stopped from going to the cross. Why? Because of his astounding love for you. In those moments when Jesus hung on the cross, when he cried out to God, God paid down the debt on our behalf. We carry a lot of those same burdens today. You know, physically free, but spiritually we are slaves. There is a debt that we all must pay, and I find myself wondering, is there anyone who can pay it? And to that question, I quote from John again, who says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Behold. Behold doesn't just mean, hey, look over there. Behold means look, look, see, meditate, think on him, think on what he's done and why he has done it. Behold him. Here in just a few minutes, we are going to get the opportunity together to behold the Lamb of God. It's what we call the veneration of the cross. And here in just a few minutes, you are going to be invited to come up. We're not going to dismiss by rows or anything. You could just come up whenever you're ready. And this year, this entire kneeling area here is going to be open for you to come forward and to kneel and just behold. Behold him. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.